There are cemeteries that are all around us. We go to Arlington, Barrancas. I was recently at Normandy Beach, and then that cemetery at Normandy. I tell you, if you're ever there, don't miss it. Not a place like it in all the world of those that gave their life on that beach and never came home. They're just pictures, and we must never forget what paid the way for you to sit where you sit today in freedom speaking English. So that's why we put memorials up. We remember. Memorial Day started 3 years after the Civil War, when people called it Decoration Day then, as they still do in some rural cemeteries. They would go and decorate the graves of the war dead. Years later, became not Decoration Day, but Memorial Day, when we would remember those that died in battle. And so those stones are set up, monuments. Yeah, they're everywhere. You look around, you see them. They're in our city. Waterloo, New York is finally in the Johnson administration. While several places said, we started Memorial Day, they were identified by the government back in the 60s. That was the beginning point, the first time. Came up with the idea of having this Decoration Day. Every time you see a flag fly, it is a memorial. It tells us about 13 beginning colonies in 50 states. It's all around us. But the Bible's filled with memorials too. And while we dare not forget the memorials of statehood, we dare not forget the memorials of our eternal home in heaven. It's that Joshua chapter 4 is all about. It's about a memorial day, remembering. And on this memorial weekend, as we thank God for America, I want us to look back at some memorial stones about our faith. For without our faith, our nation will not exist. We're in Joshua 4 today. And begin in verse 1, read through verse 7, skip to verse 9, and then drop down to verse 19 through the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. That would later be Gilgal. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. It must have been big rocks, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there till this day. Verse 19, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now get the picture here. The children of Israel had been in Egypt. Moses leads them out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. God opens the Red Sea, and they go across on dry ground. Moses will die up on top of Nebo. Joshua is made predecessor of Moses. He comes after and leads. They've wandered in the wilderness now for 40 years. After that 40 years, Moses has seen the promised land from the top of Nebo, and God buried him. He says, now to Joshua, take my people across the Jordan River into Canaan. We don't hear much about this story. Everybody knows about the Red Sea, dry ground, but we tend to forget the Jordan. It happened there too. They took the Ark of the Covenant. When they stepped into the water, when you read chapter 3, the Bible says that the waters stood up in a heap, just like they did with the Red Sea, stopped the Jordan River. And they stood up, and down toward the Dead Sea, the waters stopped flowing, and there was a divide, and they took the ark into the middle of that dry riverbed, and 2 million people marched across into the promised land. God told Joshua, send 12 men, one from each tribe, go get a large stone. Had to be large. You put it on your shoulder. Bring those 12, and where you're going to lodge tonight, which is just across the Jordan, not quite to Jericho, just inside Canaan, you'll find a place, and we're going to name it Gilgal. There we'll arrange those stones. There's some discussion about how the stones were arranged. Were they stacked up or were they placed in a circle or some other formation? Doesn't tell us exactly, but they are there, and he puts those 12 stones and says, let these be a memorial stone so that when your children ask, what does this mean? If you've not taken your children to Washington, D.C., you ought to take them. If you're not taking your children and your children's children out to Barrancas, you ought to take them. If you go down to the war wall downtown, you ought to take them. Let them touch that stone where names are etched there, and they'll say, well, what's this mean? That means somebody died so you can be free. You take them to D.C. and walk up and down that reflecting pool on the side and see that monument. See Mr. Lincoln sitting there. Say, what's that mean? That's a president that was shot and killed. And read the words he put. Don't let your children forget America. Go to the King Memorial and hear Martin Luther King talk about God making all men equal. Go to the Jefferson Memorial. Remember those that put together a constitution. Go to the World War I and II and Vietnam memorials and remember those that laid down their lives. When your kids ask, what's this mean? Tell them it's a wonderful land, but it's not free. Joshua, when you put these stones there and the kids ask, what's it mean? Then you're going to tell them. And then Joshua said to the 12, I want you to do something else. I want you to go over where the Levitical priests are standing with the Ark of Covenant on their shoulder, and I want you to stack up 12 stones in the riverbed. He put 24 stones. He put 12 in Gilgal. He put 12 in the river. And after they came out of that riverbed, the Bible says the waters flowed again, and you didn't see the stones anymore. They were covered up. I tell you, friend, Jesus died for you. You didn't see it, but he did it. He came out of the grave. You never saw it, but he did it. He went up to heaven in the ascension. You didn't see it, but he did it. Let me tell you, just because you can't see it doesn't make it so. Not so. Things that you can't see, you see by faith. We see that in that riverbed. Joshua said, put those stones there. We won't see them, but we won't forget what God did. Then we'll have 12 stones, because there are some things that you see by sight. Don't forget these things. Let them be a memorial to what God has done. Never forget the greatness of God. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons you all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Don't forget God's benefits. God been good to you? Has God been good to Olive Baptist Church? Lord, I'm telling you, God's been good to us. He's been good to us even today, and we must never forget. And when our children say, how'd this happen? You tell them. I sat right here on Friday. Chief of police, who's a member of our church, Pensacola, asked if we'd have his swearing in here. He asked me to preach and pray. I preached and I prayed. We got up to walk off, one of the officers who was sitting here and looking up at all this building, he said, how do you do this every Sunday? What I wanted to say is, how in the world do you get in that car and do what you do every day? Well, I said, I'll tell you how I do what I do. I do it by the grace of God. I do it by the benefit of God's hand. His anointing. I can't do this, but God is faithful. Stack up some stones and never forget. Well, what is it God's saying in these stones? Well, he tells us when we get over to verses 22 and 23, and you get in verse 21, and he said, your children, the second time, going to ask, what are these stones? Here's what you got to tell them. Three things, he says. I preached for 10 years out of this text. This is what I'm going to do for a few weeks. But this morning, I want you just to see in verses 22, 23, and 24, what are those key components that we should remember out of these stones? Well, first of all, he says to remember, God is faithful. Remember, God is, look at it right here. You shall inform, verse 22, you shall inform your children saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed. It is God that made the way. He is faithful. He goes on to say, don't forget when you get into the middle of verse 23, he did it at the Red Sea. He did it at the Jordan River. God is faithful. Do not forget. Sometimes we get spiritual amnesia in the church. We forget where God brought us from. Everybody in this room wasn't nothing but a bunch of sinners and crooks and drunks and self-sufficient, egotistical. Need I go on? As all of us. And God reached by grace and saved you. The biggest sinner in this place is not a drunkard. The biggest sinner in this place was the self-righteous man who beat on his chest and said, Lord God, I'm glad I'm not like these other folk. Dear friend, it's farther from self-righteousness to the cross than it is from the gutter of a drunk man. Never are you farther from God when you say, I've got my own righteousness. Well, God's been good to us. He reached through our own self-sufficiency to save us. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Never, ever forget. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says a whole lot about never forget. Let me just turn over here. I want to give you a few verses out of this. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Look in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Verse number 12. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, you've forgotten. Verse 14. Then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant. Some of you think you're something because you did. You're nothing. Without him, you're nothing. Verse 18, he goes on to tell us. And then in verse 19, it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. I want you to know Olive Baptist Church can die dead as a hammer if we ever forget where the blessings come from. Remember, God is faithful. Why do we baptize? We're going to baptize in the second service today. What does baptism reminds us? It reminds us Jesus died and he rose again. That's why you're baptized. When we have the Lord's Supper, we put a table here at the front and it says, do this in what? Remembrance. Why do we take that cup and take that bread? It's to remember. Why don't we do it every Sunday? Because it would just become happenstance. It'd be just like doing anything else. But when it becomes something special at varied times of the year, we remember his shed blood and his broken body. Daddy, what are these stones? Can't you see them walking through Gilgal? They're walking through and they come to that compilation of stones and he pulls, Daddy, what's this mean? Well, Joshua, I named you after our leader. We didn't think we'd ever get in the promised land. Oh, it was a miracle day, and God opened up the Jordan River and let us through. That little boy's eyes get big. He said, you mean really? Yeah. You mean, Daddy, that's not speaking metaphorically? No. You mean God really did that? It's not just a type? I heard preached in this city these last few weeks. I heard preached in this city in Pensacola, Florida. That Jonah was not really swallowed by a fish. From the pulpits from the pulpit of one of our churches. Said, you know, that couldn't really happen. Didn't that? Well, let me tell you, friend, if that didn't happen, Jesus is a liar. Jesus believed Jonah got swallowed by a fish. Because he said, just like he is in the belly of the fish, shall I be in the grave 3 days and three nights? And just like Jonah got spit out, I'm telling you, Jesus got spit out. Up from the grave, he arose. And if we ever stop believing the miraculous, we might as well pack up our Bibles and go do something else. Don't forget. Remember, God is faithful. Just because your little pea brain can't figure it out doesn't make it not so. People say, well, you know, I just can't believe that. Well, God have bless you. Who died and made you God? You say, well, you don't know how smart I am. Well, just hang around a while. You'll be dead smart here shortly. God's here for you started, and he'll be here when you're gone. You better fall at his feet. What these stones mean, Dad? Well, Joshua, God's faithful. There's a second thing these stones mean. Not only remember God's faith, but remember, Joshua, don't ever forget, the world is lost. Where you get that, preacher? Look at it right here. In verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. That the Girgashite and the Hivite and the Hittite, the Canaanite, and everybody in here would know that the hand of God. Let me tell you, friend, we live in a lost world. A lost world. People going to hell on every side. We dare not let people walk in this room and be around us on our workplace if we don't lift high the Master. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the witness. Get with it. Here am I. Send me. These stones tell us that the world is lost. 12 stones of Gilgal said, it is God. We must never, ever back up on the gospel. At the Moses Ministry Village at Olive, the MVO must always have the gospel at its center. VBS, it's coming up, and you need to work in VBS. VBS always has to have the gospel in the center of it. Warrington Church, where we're going tonight, has got to have the gospel in the middle of it. Saturdays in August, we're going to go in a 2-mile radius of this church building. We're going to go to one quadrant, and the next one, 4 Saturdays, and we're going to go and invite everybody within a 2-mile reach of this church. We're going to invite them to church and tell them of Christ. We're going to train you about it in July. I want you to come and go. I need 500 to 1,000 people every Saturday to go and touch every door. You say, I don't live in this region. Well, you come to church here, so we need to have a great witness right here. Just like you drop a rock in a pond, it needs to go out. You to join me every Saturday, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, every Saturday in August. You say, preach, it's going to be hot. Well, it's going to be hot up in Tuscaloosa when they have football, but you're going. It's going to be hot over in Gainesville when the Gators play, but you're going to go. Well, let me tell you, hell's going to be hot. We need to go. It's not like I'm asking you to come run a marathon in the heat. Put on your walking shoes and a hat and spray and get you one of them little fans and come go with us. Take you a bottle of water. We'll knock on doors. We'll meet here at 10, leave about 10:30, be done by 12, on about our way. Got to keep the gospel. Well, Daddy, what do these stones mean? They mean God is faithful. They mean the world is, you mean they're not like us? That's right. They're not like us, and we need everybody in the world to know. That's why we send these mission teams out. That's why we're going to do Warrington. That's why we're doing Saturdays. But now thirdly, remember these stones teach us always fear the Lord. Look at it in verse 24. That you may fear the Lord your God forever. He's walking through the city center of Gilgal, and he's got little Rebecca with him, and Rebecca pulls on his coat and says, Daddy, what do these stones mean? Well, Rebecca, God is faithful. He opened up a highway through the Jordan. She said, you know, Brother Joshua, my brother, he said he didn't believe that. Did that really happen, Daddy? Rebecca, don't forget, not everybody worships the one true God. Our job is to lift him up. But Rebecca, remember this. All the days of your life, let these stones remind you. You must fear the Lord your God. Don't ever cease to fear God. Now I want you to think with me for a moment about the Red Sea and the Jordan. Everybody turn your thinking cap on right here for a minute. The Old Testament is full of signals, of types, of symbols. And there's not one that screams louder than this one. The type of coming out of Egypt is our salvation. Then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years is our struggle with the flesh. And going across the Jordan into the promised land is not going to heaven. I know that you hear songs about crossing the chilly Jordan to death. That's not death. That's going into the fullness of God. That's the spirit-filled, victorious life is Canaan. They're going to go to Ai and they're going to struggle. If you get to heaven, you're not going to struggle. You're not going to have wars in heaven. There was a war in Canaan for a while. Now watch these two types. Crossing the Red Sea is coming out of slavery. Crossing the Jordan is entering in to the promised inheritance. Crossing the Red Sea is an exit from bondage, and crossing the Jordan is an entrance into God's fullness of blessing. When you come out of Egypt and the Red Sea, it's your salvation. You've been saved from something, but when you cross the Jordan, you've been saved to something. You've been saved to the fullness. Going across the Red Sea is judgment on sin, but crossing the Jordan is judgment on self. You want to know where most Baptists live? They live in the wilderness all their life. Well, they can tell you when they got saved. They trusted Christ and they came out and got saved, and God blew a highway in the Red Sea and they came out as slaves. They left sin. But nobody's ever discipled them into the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God. They've not recognized that there's victory in Christ. See, friend, God doesn't want you just saved and living in the wilderness. He wants you saved through the wilderness and into the promised land. He wants you living in victory. You must cross Jordan. You got to cross Jordan to be a spirit-filled, persistent, obedient, joyful, God-honoring, useful, devil-defeating follower of Christ. You got to get yourself across Jordan. Do you know they lived in the wilderness 40 years and they all died out. But when they crossed, they just got across Jordan to Gilgal. And the first thing they did is they ate of the fruit of the land. Manna stopped. You'll find that in Joshua chapter 5. The manna stopped. And they started eating of the fruit of a land that flows with milk and honey. No one had been circumcised. In the 40 years, they circumcised the male. They started eating of the fruit of the land. There was the manna gone. And you find them walking into fullness. Now look right here, Mr. Baptist. Look right here at me. Every Baptist in here, that you know you're saved, I want you to look right here. You got to get over yourself. You got to die to yourself. This Memorial Day, we honor those who died physically so that we could have America. But let me tell you, the Word of God reminds us that Memorial Day for the Christian is when we die spiritually. It's Romans chapter 6, verse number 5. Look at it in your text, in Romans chapter 6. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his" what? Say that word. "Death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin." Some of you are saved, but sin's got you by the neck because you won't die to yourself. Some of you are so angry at the church and at your mama and your daddy. You're just full of meanness and madness and cursing and kicking. You'll never have victory till you die to yourself. You got to reckon yourself dead. You died with Christ. Let me tell you, friend, when Jesus died, you died. When he arose, you arose. Your life of victory is not about you. It's about Jesus in you. And when you get Romans 6 in you, you understand death to self and alive to Christ. Nobody has to pat you on the back and say, way to go. You're just going to be faithful because Jesus is faithful. Have people, they'll come. They say, well, we came to church, but we just didn't feel welcome. We didn't feel like we didn't feel. Bless God, get over your feeling. You don't walk by what you feel. You walk by what the Word of God says. You walk by faith. Let me tell you, if I walked by feeling, I wouldn't be here this morning. Amen. I'd stay at home. Some days I just can't wait to get here. This wasn't one of them. It didn't feel too good. So I got up about 5:30 and opened the Word of God. Read myself full, prayed myself hot, and said, Lord, let's go burn. Amen. It's not how I feel. It's what the Word of God says. I said, well, you know, you don't speak to me. Did you come here to meet me or meet God? I said, well, you ought to be nicer. Well, I would if you would. So, well, you know, that Sunday school class, they just, friend, go dead and you'll be all right. Die to yourself. You'll be amazed what Jesus will do. Say, Pastor, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, let me just explain it out of my own life. 10 years old, 7 rows back, Episcopal Baptist Church, sitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Right there, where that purse is. Thursday Vacation Bible School. Saved, next Sunday night, baptized, going to heaven, mom and daddy rejoicing. Praise the Lord. I was 11, I was 12, I was 13, I was 14, I was 15, I was 16, I was 17. I was in the wilderness. Well, I knew I was going to heaven, but I was in the wilderness. The old preacher came, started preaching Romans 6, 7, and 8 in our church. I said, my Lord, I never heard anything like that. What do you mean dead to self? I thought we were supposed to do the best we can. I was 17 years old. I ran into Galatians 2:20 for the first time in my life. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith, and the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I don't do what I do to make you smile. I don't do what I do for my wife to say, well done. I don't do what I do for my mom and daddy to say we're proud of our son. And I like it when you're happy. And I love it when I get home, my wife tells me, that's good today. I love to hear from my parents. All that does good. Well, let me tell you, when you die to yourself, there's only one thing that matters. Just one. Well done. And let me tell you, there's some things God will call on you to do. That you think, you know, if I was in the flesh, there are times God will just tell you, hush. I take you from here. I said, but Lord, I can help you out. He said, I'll do the helping out here. You read that in Romans. We got feet and the body's got hands and all of us got to work together. Let me tell you, at your core, you die to sin. Daddy, what's these stones mean? It means we fear God more than we fear man. Now watch this. They'd stack those stones up. They were 2 miles from Jericho. God sent the spies in. They came back and said, think we can do it. So the general said, okay, get the bows, the arrows, get the horses ready. And God said, no, we're just going to go down there and walk around it 7 times and blow a horn. They said, we're going, what? What? What kind of battle plan is that? God ever had you walking around being quiet when you'd rather fight? I don't die easy to you. I come to the altar, I keep crawling off. I die to myself. I said, Lord, I've had resurrection. Sure you do. We fight that. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. And I'm just. But there comes a day when I cross the Jordan and dead. So I'm driving my 60 Chevrolet, 1971. Hole in the floorboard and the driver's side. Run through that mud hole, you get your feet wet. Standard shift. I stopped one night and the smoke is coming up out of there. I got out of the car and I got in the ditch. I got on my knees in a ditch. It's damp with water, and I said, God, I'm dead. I'm to the end of me. Whatever you want, I'll do. I got back in my car in a little while. Wasn't any smoke in there. I think it was holy smoke. So I was up to see Mom and Daddy a while back. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. We was out there walking. And I walked right by that ditch. And I looked around, there wasn't anybody there. And I thought, well, I'll just go over and stand in the ditch. It was Memorial Day. It's my stone. I remembered. See, Gilgal is a place for recommitment, readjustment, revitalization. Remembering. Every one of us got to cross the Jordan if we're going to be used of God. You got to get over yourself. You got to die to yourself. That doesn't mean you're not worth anything. It just means God wants to take you and he wants to use you. You just got to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. I'm not in charge anymore. Let me tell you, if I was still in charge of my life, I'd be coaching basketball somewhere. Doing good in the world's eyes. I'd be recruiting kids and giving money. And God said, I don't want you doing that. I said, yes, Lord, I'll go your direction. I know some coaches that died to self, and they're coaching right where they're supposed to be, and God's using them, and they're raising up kids and phenomenal. What I got a foot over here and a hand over there and a head over here and some shoulders over here. I walked in a church the other night. I was preaching up North Carolina. It's an elderly Jewish man there. He'd been saved a few years ago. He said this to me. He said, "You know, preacher, you cannot do the work of God with carnal people in your church, but you got to have them to give the money to get the work done." I said, "Say that one more time." He said, "You cannot do the work of God in your church with carnal people, but you got to have carnal people to get the work done. It'll give." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Oh, they're not over their self, and they're not going to do much for the kingdom, but they'll give you your money because that's the easiest thing they'll ever do. And so you need a lot of carnal people to give checks so that the people that's dead to self can go do the work God's funding through the fleshly people." I ain't got over that yet. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just still chewing on that old Jewish man's sentiment. I said, "Is that right?" "Well, you know it's right. Everybody in here wrote a big check, little check. They're not full of the Holy Ghost." Lord, thank you for carnal people that give out of guilt. But let me tell you, if you'll ever die to yourself, you won't give out of guilt. You'll find great joy in serving the King. For God loves a cheerful giver. He'll take it from carnality, but He loves a cheerful giver. I decided to give myself a hand. You wouldn't clap. Telling you, you got to cross Jordan. Now, if you've not been out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and been saved, you ought to get saved today. But now there's a lot of folks in this place just been wandering in the wilderness, and you need to get across the Jordan. And when you get across the Jordan, you're going to stack up some stones. The word Gilgal means "our reproach has been removed." That's what Gilgal means. When they put those, "our reproach," that means we cast off the flesh. Removed our reproach. You're to be above reproach. Gilgal, we cast off our reproach. And we're ready to enter into the promise. That doesn't mean there's not. Man, they defeated Jericho, and the very next place they went, they got beat at Ai. Because some carnal Baptist stole the gold. That's what they did. They said, "Well, Lord, we'll give to you." They wasn't going to give. They had it under the donkey saddle, and who took the money they wasn't supposed to have? See, there's always, but once you move into victory, your battle is not with you. Your battle is with carnal believers. Most of our battles are not with the lost. It's with people who say they're on God's side, but they're living according to the flesh. And then there's this. Come to Jordan. That's the invitation today. Come to Jordan. Stack up a stone. Die to self. Live for Christ. Now I'm going to stay here in Joshua for 5 more weeks. Well, there's a lot of stuff to mine out of what Joshua did. What time is it? Well, I got 2 more minutes. When it gets 10:40, the people that are not in the spirit who think it's all about them is ready to go eat. Yes, sir. There were 12. What? He sent one from every tribe. Those of you that lead your family, you must lead the family. Every daddy in this place, you ought to lead your family. Every husband ought to lead. You ought to pick up the stone and say, we're going to remember God. 12, they were complete. When you get to Revelation, you get to heaven, there's 12 gates. And on the gate is the name of the one of the tribes of Israel. Judah, Asher, all 12. They got a name on, and then there's a flaming angel standing at every gate, and the Bible says underneath the gates is a foundation stone, and there's 12 of them, and every foundation stone is named. The foundation stones have the name of one of the 12 apostles. The gates have the names of the 12 tribes, and the angel, I'm just telling you, it takes us all. Doesn't take 10 of us, not 11, not 6, it's 12. That's why God calls all of us to be dead, and Olive will never do what God wants you to do till everybody in here has crossed the Jordan. So it's time for some of us to get up and get across the river.